If you have a child with you today, I'd like you to plug their ears for a minute. I don't want them to think less of their pastor when I say this, because I have a confession to make, something that I never thought that I would say in front of a group of people. I slept with a nightlight until I was 12 years old. I was terrified of the dark, still slightly am. The only reason I don't sleep with a nightlight now is because my wife won't let me. I'm scared of the dark, but that's not the only fear that I have in my life. I mean, then obviously I thought that there were monsters in my closet, and I thought that those monsters were accompanied by this vampire who's going to come out and suck my blood. I mean, you know, it's a rational fear, okay? Now I'm just scared of the dark because I feel out of control when I'm in the dark. But again, that's not my only fear, and I'm guessing that if we were to, you know, list out our fears, you would have a few too. The fact is that our fears show us that we all have some monsters in our closet. And we need to be confronted with Jesus calming the storm and calming the disciples' fears in order to be comforted ourselves. This video I'm about to show you is from a little mini-series of movies called The Adventures of Toby, and this one is called Monsters and Me. And, you know, it's meant for children, but you guys are all basically kids anyway. I'm looking at all of those who are over 70. And I think this is a good way to see in action kind of what we're going to be talking about today and what happened in our gospel reading. So watch this.
What happened to you, soldier?
Well, there was this movie, and there were all these monsters. And then I had to go to bed, and the monsters were in my room, and it was scary.
You know, once I was on this boat with my friends.
Wouldn't it be nice if it was just imaginary monsters that we dealt with in our life? Wouldn't it be nice if that's all that our kids dealt with in their life? See, 40 years ago, a psychologist did some research on what fears kids had. And among the list of the top fears for kids was a fear of the dark, a fear of heights, a fear of spiders and snakes. But now, 40 years later, 2018, psychologists have done that research again. And they're finding that these fears still obviously exist among young people, and these fears exist among adults. I'm 27 years old. I'm terrified of the dark, okay? But they've added a lot to that list. The top fears among kids now is the fear of parents getting divorced, the fear of cancer, the fear of death, and the fear of being rejected. That sounds familiar to kind of the things that we fear in life too, right? We fear those same things. You might even add to the list, we fear financial insecurity. We fear cancer. We fear the death of loved ones. We fear that we're going to be out of control. We fear for our kids that when they're 18 years old, they're going to grow up and they're going to leave home and they're going to make poor choices and they're going to walk away from their faith. These are the things that we fear in life, right? These are the monsters in our closet, and all we want is for God to chase them out. This is what we deal with. A guy named Chris Johnson at Chapman University in Orange, California. He's a professor of sociology. He made the comment that people fear most what they can't control. And it's evident in our list of fears. You know, I'm afraid of the dark because I can't do much to control the circumstance. I don't know where I'm going. I kind of lose my way. People have a fear of heights because if they fall off of a high place, there's no controlling where they're going to fall. There's no controlling anything like that. We fear cancer because we can't control it. We can't get rid of it in our minds. I mean, chemo helps, but chemo is poison. And so in the midst of trying to get rid of cancer, we're poisoning ourselves. We're getting sicker so our body can heal. We fear death because we don't ask for it and because it hurts. We fear our children walking away from the faith because when they're 18 years old, our society has said that at 18 years old, you're an adult, you can make your own choices. There's nothing we can do. These are the monsters in our closet. And when you start tallying up the list of things that you fear in life, I'm sure that you'll come to the conclusion that you have one greatest fear above all else. And that's the fear that your fears are going to destroy you. And that God will abandon you in that process. We don't like to admit that though, right? I mean, we like to try and stay strong. Pastor Rich mentioned, you know, people pretend differently when the pastor visits or whatever. They clean up their house and stuff. They're not really who they are. And that's true. I mean, even we do that. We had people over to our house on Friday, and I was looking for a pair of shoes. And I asked my wife, like, where are my shoes? She said, in the laundry room. I said, we don't keep our shoes in the laundry room. They're supposed to be in the kitchen, lined up by size. That's us. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. And yet my wife is trying to pretend someone we're not. Quit lying, Amy. This is where the shoes go. They don't go in on top of the dryer. But we do that in our lives, right? We try to seem fearless, especially to our kids, especially to our peers, because we don't want to seem like we're out of control. We want people to look at us and think that we have our lives put together, think that we know what's going on, that we can do something about the situations in our life, when the harsh reality is that we can't. There's nothing we can do. The person that we show to everyone else is not really the person that's inside of us screaming for help and asking tough questions. Because really what we're asking as we look at the fears in our life and as we look at the situations, the cancer, the death, the surgeries, whatever it is we're wondering the whole while, does God even care? And the disciples put a voice to that question. See, as the disciples are sitting in the boat, you know, Jesus is back there sawing logs, snoozing, and they are fearful that they're going to be destroyed. And so they say to Jesus, do you not care that we're about to be destroyed? That's what that word in the text is, that we're about to be destroyed. I mean, that's a question that we're all asking, and maybe we're just not courageous enough to say it out loud. God, do you care about my finances? God, do you care about the fact that I feel like I'm failing in every area of my life? God, do you care about my uncle who has cancer? God, do you care about my kid who is making poor choices? God, do you care about me as a parent as I'm not knowing what to do next? God, do you care that I'm lonely and even when I'm in a group of people, I feel like I'm the only one there? God, do you care about the monsters in my closet? I mean, that's what we're all asking, right? And then Jesus answers. See, after his disciples ask this question, he gets up and he says to the wind and to the waves, be still. Translated from the Greek, it means be quiet. Translated into our southern Tennessee language, it's oh hush. That's what Jesus is saying, oh hush. And the wind and the waves, they stop. I think it says in the heading in your Bible that Jesus calms the storm. No, Jesus doesn't calm the storm. He gets rid of it. He stops it. He puts it at rest, all by saying, be still. You know, Jesus speaks these words in the text to the wind and to the waves, but from my perspective, from the outside looking in, and I could be wrong, Jesus is also speaking these words to the disciples. He's speaking these words to us, and it pushes us back into the Old Testament, into Psalm 46, where we hear, be still, hush, and know that I'm God. It's an invitation to quit focusing on the fears, to quit focusing on the monsters, and to rest in him, to rest in his embrace, to rest in his strength. Be still. And after Jesus says this, he looks at his disciples in the boat with their mouths probably hanging open, and he says, why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith? And for me, this leads to the pinnacle of the story. I don't see Jesus silencing the storm as the pinnacle. For me, the best part of the story actually happens in Mark 5, verse 1, when they get to the other side of the sea, and Jesus doesn't abandon his faithless disciples. Now, that's the real part of the story that I think we need to focus on. I mean, time and time again, Jesus has showed these guys who he is. He's walked on water. He's healed people. I mean, he knows things that no one else knows, and yet they constantly doubt him, and yet he's willing to still stick with them. And it shows us that, you know, no matter what we do, no matter how much faith we don't have, no matter how much fear we do have, that God is not going to abandon us. And we see that in the fact that he's willing to go to the cross. I mean, in the garden, when he's being betrayed, what did the disciples do? They ran off. In his hour of greatest need, they were so filled with fear that they ran away. And you know what? He still died on the cross anyway for them and for you and for me. He died on the cross for our weakness, for our failure, for our inability to act, for our fears. That's what he died for. You know, so often we think as Christians that, you know, fear is wrong and that we can't be fearful, and so we don't voice that fear at all, and we just bottle it up inside as though our fear means that we don't have enough faith. Well, what is enough faith? I mean, Jesus himself said, if you just had faith like a mustard seed, you could move mountains. So we realize, okay, I can't move mountains, so I don't even have enough faith as a mustard seed. It's not about how much faith you have. It's about the object of your faith. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, then that is the right object. If your faith is in yourself, and I, you know, at times I've had a lot of faith in myself, and I've always ended up failing. Some way or another, I've ended up messing up. Your faith cannot be in you. Your strength cannot just come from yourself. It doesn't work that way. Our faith comes from God. It's okay to be afraid. Has anyone told you that before? It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to fear the things that you do. That doesn't make you a bad Christian. It doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you human. If you weren't afraid of anything, you know who you'd be? You'd be God. And you're not God. Neither am I. Neither is he. I remind him of that all the time. Our strength comes from above. Our strength comes from the cross, where Jesus shows just how much he loves us, where he shows us that no matter how much in fear we back away, no matter how much we draw away, he keeps moving in closer. God never draws away from us, even though we're constantly drawing away from him with our fear. And if God can conquer death on a cross, if God can proclaim victory over evil and sin, how much more can he do for the monsters that are in your closet? With him, you have nothing to fear. I mean, you're still going to fear, but you don't need to. It's unnecessary worry. You know, I guess the thing that I love most, it's kind of like what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10. He says, I'm weak, and he's strong. For me, that helps me realize what my posture is in this, that I'm the one who keeps on receiving God's graces. I'm not the one who has strength. He is. And he shows that to me on the cross in the way that he loves me. He shows me that no matter how much I fear, no matter how much my faith wavers, he's never going to abandon me. Your fear, your wavering faith is not going to change God's posture of love towards you. It's okay to be afraid. But if I could offer like just one word, one sentence of wisdom for you to take with you today, it's to be able to stand in awe and in fear of God more than anything else. I mean, think back to the fact that he is able to control the wind and the waves. You know why? It's because Jesus is God, and because he was there when all that stuff was created. If he's able to do that, if he's able to rise again from the dead, I mean, that's something to stand in awe of. And when we stand in awe of the God who created the world, which coincidentally is the same God who died for you because he loves you, then all of those fears and all of those monsters in our closet start to become smaller. Because we realize we have a God who is greater than the greatest fear that we have. And we have a promise on the cross that we will never be forsaken, that even though we're weak, he will be strong, that no matter where we go in life, no matter what we encounter, he will be there every step of the way. And there will be one day when we see the new heavens and the new earth, when all of those monsters will be gone. That's the promise that we have to hold on to. But it's easy to forget, right? It's easy to let our fears overcome us. It happens to me as a pastor. I received a letter this week from Peggy Harvey. She's one of our members who goes to the 8 a.m. service. And, you know, oftentimes when I get a letter anyway, I don't want to read it, because the first thing I assume is like, oh, somebody's going to criticize me. I have a lot of fire kindling in my garage, by the way, in case you've written me a letter recently. But it was a really awesome letter. Peggy talked in that letter about her kids' health problems when she was younger. And I've done a lot of crying this year. I mean, this first year being a pastor, I've cried more than I ever have in my entire life. And I cried when I read that letter, and because it was the raw reality of what happens in life, that there's things that we're afraid of. But what really got me, what was really gut-wrenching for me, is it was obvious in this letter that Peggy feared things. But she feared God more than all the rest. And she ended the letter by saying, you know, your little baby Luca is in the arms of the creator of the world. Stand in awe of that. And for me, that was just so comforting to hear that from someone else. Because there are times where, you know, I fear so much about what's going to happen to Luca. And I fear what's going to happen to my wife, how it's going to affect me. I fear all of it. But I need to fear God even more than everything else, because I know how much he loves me, and I know how much he loves Luca, and I know how much he loves my wife, and it's all going to be okay. God doesn't chastise me for being fearful. He just loves me that much harder. See, we need people like Peggy in our lives to help remind us of the reality of God's love and the reality of God's awesomeness. You know, Sunday morning worship is great, but we need a small community in our life to hold us accountable, to speak truth to us throughout the week. And the beauty of it is this, and here's what I've kind of realized as I've walked alongside people and other people have walked alongside me. There are times in my life where I'm so fearful and so weak that I just don't want to move. I don't want to get out of bed. And I'm just afraid of all those monsters in my closet, right? And yet one of my friends at that time is stronger than I am, and he helps me chase out the monsters because he knows where his strength comes from, and it's from above. And there's times in my life where I'm feeling stronger, and yet my friend is feeling weaker, and I can help chase the monsters out of his closet. I mean, see, that's what happens in Christian community. That's the part that we often forget. You know, we come to church for an hour, and then we leave, and we don't see anyone else. We don't talk about Jesus the rest of the week. Yeah, that shouldn't be the case, because we need one another. We need other people in our life. We need to show the world what it means to be a Christian by being there for each other, by helping each other chase out the monsters, and by pointing to the one that we can, by whose power we do it, which is Jesus Christ. What are the monsters that you need chased away right now? Focus on this. Your God is greater than all those monsters. Your God is greater than all those fears. Who are going to be the people to tell you that? Who's going to be the person that you need to tell that to? You can do it. You can do it because you have a God who is greater. You have a God who conquered death. You have a God who died for you. And his name is Jesus. And he loves you. And so do I.